Just another day here at home by myself. Try to figure out what to do. Got this notebook, and I'm supposed to be going through that. But I don't necessarily feel like doing that right at the moment. Procrastination is what I do. But I'm going to have to get it done. But what is that dog doing out there in my garden? What was left of that garden? Hey, get your dog out of my garden. You better bring a bag with you. Clean it up. Oh, it makes me so mad. That's what got me in this predicament. I need to be careful. I need to control myself. Oh, happy thoughts. Happy thoughts. Just going to a nice, happy place. That's what I'm doing. Yeah. That's good. So, what do? Did I start working on my notebook? No, it's close to Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's in 2 days, right? So I'm going to... What do you do on Thanksgiving? You watch football. Yeah. Let me see here. Getting ready to watch some football.
Hey, Dad, I just let myself in.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, son. Yeah, nice seeing you. Glad you could be here. Yeah.
What you doing?
I was just getting ready to watch some football. Yes.
You started working on your notebook thing the judge has you doing?
No, I was just talking about that with myself.
Don't you have to get that done by Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I know Thanksgiving. I got 2 days to do it, so I figure I can do that. But
you need to get it done. The option was you do the notebook anger management thing, or you go to jail, Dad.
I know, but that kid did my garden out there.
Dad.
Your mom and I worked on that garden for...
Dad.
What?
You hosed the kid down in 40-degree weather. you can't just go around hosing whatever kid you think you want to hose.
I realize that, but look what he did to my garden. We just spent all that time just working on it.
Dad, mistakes happen. I'm sure he didn't purposely run the lawnmower through your garden.
I understand, and you know, and stopping and thinking about it, the judge allowing me to go through this anger management thing, and you know, because I'm not an angry person, really, but I get there sometimes, you know. I try to control myself. But it was nice. It was nice that he allowed your pastor to allow us to do this thing here. So.
And the other option was much worse. You'd just be in jail right now.
That's true.
The father of the kid wanted quite a bit more than just anger management program. Why don't we start working on it?
Okay. All right. What do we got here? Let's see here. So, here is here's the thing. Oh, we need this a little bit here.
Oh, man, this looks like a lot of work to do in 2 days.
In 2 days, yeah. I'll get it done here, but we're going to...
How long did you get
to I don't know. We're going to try to do it in 20. But we'll get through it here. So, all right. I will tell you, there's a note here from the pastor. He says, this is the five kernels of thanks of Thanksgiving. And I would tell you that getting through this and understanding this will help you with your anger. So he wants me to read Psalm 103 here, 1 through 22. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he does remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, in the righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord. Well, I was nine. And he goes on to talk about here, about Thanksgiving here. Talks about Thanksgiving and began almost 400 years ago at the Plymouth Colony. The pilgrims uprooted themselves and sailed for America on the Mayflower, seeking religious freedom and a new way of life from the families. Through what they endured, it was amazing that they ever came to have this holiday at all. First, instead of landing in Virginia, where the others from England had already established settlements, the Mayflower was blown off course and landed at Plymouth. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, just in time for winter to set in. And so later on, Governor goes on and on here. Governor William Bradford described this first winter as sad and lamentable, and its shelter from the harsh. Winter was scant as the pilgrims spent their time digging seven times as many graves as their dead as they built homes for the living. And when there was a ship that arrived there and was ready to bring food and relief for them, while it brought 35 more mouths to feed, they didn't bring any supplies with them. It was tough there, and Thanksgiving originated from this band of beaten brothers is amazing indeed. In 1621, it goes on and says, the only way that they were able to, you know, there was a wonderful, bountiful feed, and they had food there. And then later, each empty plate, though, where there was during that struggling winter, they had corn. You know, they were blessed with corn, but to survive the time, they only had each day rations down to 5 kernels of corn. Each day. So he goes on to say here that at one of these plates here, every Thanksgiving they put an empty plate that had 5 kernels of corn on it to remember what they had thanks, and each kernel was there. The pastor mentions here today, to help you with your anger to get through it, we want to look at these 5 kernels to see what we do.
Ooh, 5 kernels.
5 kernels. Well, we'll see what they are here, you know. First one. First one is the kernel of forgiveness. Who forgives all your iniquity? I suppose what he's getting at here now is I need to forgive Charlie for what he did to my garden, what he did to Rachel, my garden.
Are you going to be able to? Are you going to be able to forgive him, Dad?
It's going to be hard. I don't know that I can. I mean, I stop and I think about how much it hurt me in doing this. We put so much time in that garden. It was what we always did in our time and relax. I spent so many times out there. I just remember those so well. And then he ruined it.
I know, Dad. I know. You need to find somehow, though, find a way to be able to forgive him.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I imagine it was probably really hard for God to forgive us in what he went through. I know when we look at this and it just says, I remember, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repays us according to our iniquities. And he has down here in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Look at that. That's really big. Stop and think about what he did and what it applies to me for our neighbor boy there and forgiving. I guess it comes to a point where I'm gonna have to forgive him, and I'm gonna have to calm down on that, and I know that and all that. Because when you put it in perspective of what God does for you and I, it's for his grace. We didn't deserve that.
No, we didn't.
There was nothing that we did. No works. We're not perfect. We're a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, that's look what I did. I mean, went out and just hosed a kid down. No. That's, I don't know, how many people can say they hosed a kid down?
I don't think too many.
Not too many at all. But I would tell you that I took care of that. Okay? All right, so now God forgives me. And understanding also that God's forgiveness is complete forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west, so will does he remove our transgressions from us. Everything is gone. So that's nice. I think that's great that we can understand that God did that for us. I do. And then in Acts 3:19, it goes on to tell us to repent, therefore, and turn your back, and turn again, that your sin may be blotted out. I just understand there. I'm just committed to God. Everything. So, okay. Something to think about, forgiveness. I think I can do that. I think I can forgive him. And can you forgive me?
Dad, I forgive you.
Thank you. And another thing here, the second kernel of thanks is the kernel of healing. Who heals, who forgives your iniquity, and who heals your disease. All healing is divine, healing and the direct result of God. The healing properties God built into our bodies, medicines, the knowledge of doctors are extensions of God's healings. I don't get this, though. I loved my wife. I loved my wife, Rachel, 2 years ago. Why did she come down with all that, the disease, and just watch her just crumble and die and just go down? It's, left me here like this.
It's going to be okay, Dad.
I understand that. I understand. But I don't understand why I'm so angry that he didn't allow him to be healed. You know, I don't understand why. We lived a good Christian life and tried to, you know, let that had you. I mean, look at you. You look great. You've been in church every day. In the last couple of years, I haven't gone because of that. I've been I'm angry and I'm mad. I can't stand because my wife is gone now and just left me here. And that garden was the one connection that we had for 30 years. We were out there. We always made that. It was beautiful. And now she's gone, and I'm trying to find things to do, you know? I don't understand. But it's all gone. And so.
Have you prayed about it, Dad?
I've tried. I've tried to pray.
Have you talked to people about it?
I've talked to some, yes. I have talked to some, but, you know, the thing is and this is the reason why I just didn't know that I was going to really go through much of this, is when I look at, this is the next thing here, it says, God does not promise to heal everyone's diseases, but that he does have the power to heal everybody's disease. But why did he choose not to heal my wife's disease? And now I'm here. That's what I struggle with, but you know, I can understand when I start looking into this. It's that God is the only one who can cure your spiritual diseases. I think that's where I'm at right now. I think with common sense, I can realize that God chose not to heal my wife and put me in this situation here. And I know that there's things that God has for me. I can understand the reality of that and just everything. But isn't that spiritual thing right now where I'm angry with God and I don't understand why he didn't? Why he just allowed me to just go through all this stuff, and then now I'm just here. And what do I say? And what do I do about this now? But I think
well, I think all you can do is keep praying and keep seeking God, Dad. And, you know, eventually one day we'll see her in heaven.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I know that, and I know that God's going to work with me, and I'm a work like everybody else is a work. And when you have these spiritual pains and these spiritual hurts, I know that after a time, if I just commit those things to him, I realize, I know that he's going to take care of it. I just know that. And I know I need to get more committed. So that brings us to the third kernel of thanks. It's the kernel of redemption, who redeems your life from the pit. Pastor's got a story right here, so I'm going to let you read that one, because I'm talking about redemption. It's an illustration. So,
the governor of Texas once spoke to groups of convicts incarcerated in the state penitentiaries. He finished by saying that he would remain to listen if any man wanted to speak with him, as might be expected. When the meeting was over, a large group of men remained. One by one, they each told the governor that he was there through a frame-up, injustice, or a judicial blunder. Each man asked to be freed. Finally, one man came up and said, "Governor, I just want to say that I'm guilty. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe I've paid for it." If I were freed, I would do everything I could to be a good citizen and prove myself worthy of your mercy. This man was the only one the governor pardoned. Why? Because he admitted his guilt.
So I think, when we stop and we think about that a little bit now, is that, and understand that, coming to the realization of when you did something wrong, and the only one who can heal you, and the only one who can redeem you, and for what you did, was Christ, was Jesus. Yeah. Finally committing, I'm guilty, I'm the one who did this wrong, so I got to hand it to you, hand everything over to you. I think that's what he's basically telling us that what we need to do here. So, you know, that's pretty deep. I mean, we can't pay for our sin, but redemption to take place, we must confess and repent our sins. We need to do that. The fourth kernel of thanks is that of love and compassion. You know, I looked at that garden and see what's not there anymore. And this is the only flower that we have left. Something I can remember my dear Rachel by. Remember your mom and the love and compassion she always showed for us.
Yeah.
When you were growing up. But remembering the love and compassion and giving. I don't know. What do you think I can forgive Charlie and all that, and I understand here now.
You should probably say sorry to him.
Yeah.
Apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably need to do that from his dad too. And I think maybe I should probably pay him for all the lawns that he did mow.
You definitely need to pay him. He mowed the lawn a lot of times this summer.
Yeah, I understand. That's one of the reasons why his dad's so unhappy with me. Let's put it that way. So we can do that and show love and compassion, but I'm looking here, and one of the things of this particular program is to help me and everything is, I'm supposed to go down and show some love and compassion and by going to the soup kitchen and serving. So I guess
that's probably a good idea.
Yeah, that'll be fun. But I guess I'll go ahead and I'll take care of it and I'll do it. So I'll do that. But I think as things are going here, I'm thinking your mom would have wanted me to do that too. We help others.
Sure, she would like that.
Love and compassion for everybody there. I can do that. So, in the I said, God's love, God, right here, this guy says, God's love is unmatched in heaven or in earth. It's in Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about the love. Love that. Just a moment that he just, you know, Christ died on the cross and just gave it to us. And there's the ultimate showing of love and compassion and something that we can just be, was said earlier in the service here about being that we're the reflection of God. We are the reflection. But God died for us. He's there for us in everything that we do and the way we live our lives. That's what we should do. And just think about that. How that is for us. I think And it brings us to the last one, the kernel of blessing. The kernel of blessing.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed by eagles.
So even though God took mom away from us, think about the blessing it was to have her in the time she was here, Dad.
Yes. Yes. Definitely having her here, when she was here, the blessings she gave. And just think about that, about that. And understanding that in Psalm 103, 17 through 18, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him in his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. It just means we simply need to obey him. When we obey him, he's going to bless us. Everybody, that's what he's asking us to do. He's asking us to bless everything when we step out. And we obey what his commands, obey what he does. He helps us. He blesses us. He gives us blessings. And that's what I'm thinking. That's the reason why I'm reading this so close to the Thanksgiving, is to help me through all these issues and stuff, is understanding the blessings of God, and giving thanks for every single one of them. It's incredible. But he asked us to obey him, to receive those, to feel those blessings that he gives. When we step out there and do that. And you know, God knows how to bless his children. God knows how to bless his children. Look at that. And you look at Matthew chapter 7, 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for? Ask him for. For bread, gives him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You think about all that and what he does and what he has the blessings. We stop and we think about some of our earthly blessings that are wonderful. Wonderful wife. 30 years. You had a wonderful mom.
Yeah.
Think of all the blessings. Think of all the vacations. What a blessing she was. She always made sure that, you know, that we were loved and cared for and met our needs. That is great. And why can't I just share some of those blessings with other people? I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the blessings that she gave me. You know, I take a look at this. This flower right here is the only one. The only thing that's really left from the garden is going to be a lot of work. And yeah, I can replace that garden. I can do it myself and everything, but it's going to be just me and you, if you'd like to.
Yeah, I will.
And but this was from the hand Rachel and I did. 30 years we worked on that garden. But she was a blessing. I will always look at this and remember that. And once it's wilted and gone away, I'll keep it. Somehow to always be able to look at it. But I'll remember the blessing that she did and how she's shown God's love. And maybe it's time for me to go back to church.
I think that would be good for you, Dad.
I'll be with you this Sunday.
That's great.
and do all that. I can forgive Charlie, and I can heal, and I can always remember the redemption. And I'll show some love and compassion. But I'll remember the blessings of God and always give God thanks. I think, but imagine the blessing it's going to be when we get to heaven. We're going to be able to see and visit him, and we're going to be there walking with your mom and with Rachel and me and you. We're just going to be walking.
All be together again.
Just imagine that for a minute. Just think of what that's going to be like.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. Only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? I can only imagine.
You know, think about it. Think about all the blessings. I mean, this is the time of the year to think about all the blessings. Think about those, taking a kernel. Five kernels, like the story of that pilgrim, you know, of the pilgrims there, but always had that one plate that had the five kernels on it, just so that they would remember. Every single day, they had to, that's what they were rationed with, and it sustained them, so that to get them to the next point, to the time of plenty, when they were able to do that. So make it a kind of a goal to sit around this Thanksgiving and take that kernel in your mind. Use a real kernel if you want to. It doesn't make a difference if that's what you really want to do or whatever. But somehow, thank God for the blessings that He's given you. This is the time of the year to be able to do it, to thank that. I know. It's kind of funny. I look at this flower right here. You know, it reminds me of when I was putting this, working on this drama here. I thought about this time with Mom early on when Beth and I were dating, and we're talking only just very shortly into it, and it was kind of a quick. We were going to have a kind of a quick lunch date and everything. At my apartment, that she came over and I had cooked some food and everything, and she comes in and she hands me a bouquet of flowers. You know, now stop and think. I don't ever have had that happen to me before in my life. Where thank you. I mean, I've done it several times the other way around. You know, where I've given the girl the flowers. But that didn't happen with me with this time. She gave it to me, and I'm like, okay, it kind of threw me a lot. I'm thinking, most guys, thanks, or something, I mean, that's the thought of that. Of course, I didn't do that, but, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, and we put it, so I take it, and I'm sorry, and I kind of ask her what we need to do with it, and she says, well, get it, put the vase, and we put a vase on the table, and she put some water in it and put it in there on the table, and we had our dinner. And we're looking down at this flower, then all of a sudden we see there's a bunch of ants or something, it's crawling all over it. And she starts screaming and everything, and I'm take the thing, grab this thing and just threw it out there. We were on the second floor, and so this bouquet of flowers just ended up in the, out there. But we're doing that. But I stop and I think about this when I look back now, when I have several years of looking back at it. I'm looking at this now as a complete, absolute blessing that God gave me. This woman over here, she's sitting right over there. You wave your hand, Beth, in case people don't know you. Most people know her. But she's been an absolute blessing that God brought into my life. And I thank her so much for that. I thank Him. And I thank her. The blessings that she's given me in my life. Three wonderful children and raising them, keeping our household going. That's one of the things that I just thank daily, and I thank, especially around this time of the year, when we're supposed to thank God. So I would just ask you guys to be thinking about the blessings that God gives you this year, right now. And throughout your lifetime, think about what those blessings are. But one of the greatest blessings that God gives us is His love and His eternal life. That He's a gift to each and every single one of us. That as long as we accept Him and turn our life completely over to Him, we can do that walking around in heaven. What a glorious time that's going to be when we sit there before God and in His presence to be able to worship Him for all eternity. This was me just kind of acting here tonight when I was trying to do and everything and getting nothing. I'm going to have this just huge, huge smile on my face in His presence, and I'm going to admit, that is going to be so exciting. so exciting to be in His presence and worshiping Him. If you're here today and you don't know that satisfaction yet, or that confidence in knowing Christ as your Savior, it's easy to do, man. He's right there for you. I would ask you, implore you, to make that commitment to Him. And also, if it's been a little bit of time since you've had that commitment with Christ, maybe you've had that and you've been fine walking along and you're thinking, man, I only want to do things myself right now, then I would just tell you, you can always come back. He's waiting for you. He wants you. His heart is coming through. We talked about forgiveness and healing and redemption and His love and compassion and all of His blessings. It's all right here for you guys. It's all right for you. Step on out. Step on out and do it. So right now we're going to close. And I'm going to pray. And you know what? If you want to come to Christ, you can do it right now. Ask His forgiveness. It's easy to do. Okay? If you want to step right back in and receive the blessings that you remembered years ago and all those different things, He's saying, what's taking you so long? Bring me in. All right? So if everybody would like to stand with me, we're just going to close in prayer. And we'll do that. Lord Jesus, we just thank You. We thank You for Your message today. We thank You for Your blessings, God. This is Thanksgiving. And this is what we want to do, is just thank You for Your blessings, God. Let us remember that, to be able to do that today. And Lord, I just pray right now for those out there who may not know any kind of relationship, that never before have come to You, Lord. I pray that they say, yes, Lord, I want to do it now. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity right now. Lord, I'd ask for You to bless anybody here, Lord. And if you're in this audience right now, Lord, in this congregation here, if anybody in this congregation, if you need to accept Jesus Christ today, I would pray right now you just raise your hand. And I'm the only one that's going to look up here, but Jesus is going to see. And so if there's anybody here that would like to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior today for the very first time, please raise your hand. Thank you. And now if there's anybody here that maybe it's been a while since you remember that freshness of God and that blessing of God and what He can do for you, if there's anybody here right now, if you would like to raise your hands and say, God, I'm back. I want to commit more to You. I want to give You more of me. I'd like for you to raise your hand at this moment, if you would, please. For that. Thank you. At this time, I'd like for everybody, if you would, just to follow for the hands that were raised here. I would like for you to just follow my prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I thank You, Lord, for taking my sins from me. And I commit myself to You, to live for You, for eternal life. And we pray that You would just bless each and every single one of us, God, as we go forward. Give us strength in the times of sorrow, Lord. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen.